Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, welcome to the show and happy new year to all of you. 6:38 on WGN Radio. My name is Steve Dale. On the telephone with me is Dr. John Sarabasi, veterinary behaviorist and a rather famous one at that. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. You can and already have texted us at that same number, 312-981-7200. All right, here's what it says here, Dr. Sarabasi. A sound beginning, decoding the fearful dog, featuring myself and yourself on February 7th from 2 to 5:30 at Narnia Pet Behavior and Training in Plainfield. There is a $50 fee to see both you and myself sing and dance, but here's why I believe it's worth it. I'm not sure I'm worth $50, but here's what it is worth it. It's a tax deduction, likely, for you, because the money does go to help pet rescues. More information at a sound beginning program, all one word the way you do it, asoundbeginningprogram.com. Good morning, Dr. Sarabasi.
Good morning. How do you get up this early and sound like you do every week?
I don't know. That one I don't know the answer to, but I have a question that you do likely know the answer to. Then we're just going to jump to phone call, text after text. I promoted this on my Facebook fan page, and I said that in great part we'll be talking about separation anxiety, and I'll ask you about that. Actually, the listeners will in a moment. Here's where I want to begin with you. You'll be talking at this event, I understand, about separation anxiety.
Yes.
What is the difference between a training issue and an emotional issue? So here's what I mean. A dog with separation anxiety, there are some quote-unquote experts who say, just give the dog more exercise, go to training classes, all of which I think are good ideas, but you tell me why that might not help a dog with true, diagnosed separation anxiety.
Well, essentially the difference is between normal but inappropriate behavior and a truly abnormal behavior. So what a training issue is, or, you know, basically just shaping the dog's behavior. The dog is doing something that's normal for the, you know, the species, but it's just kind of inappropriate for us. So, for example, we train dogs to eliminate outside, at least most of the time. But going inside on your oriental rug is a totally normal behavior for the dog, but, you know, it's not something we want to live with. Separation anxiety, however, is an example of an abnormal behavior that has as its root anxiety. And anxiety is an organic medical abnormality, and it's related to brain chemistry abnormality. So it's like taking a person who has claustrophobia and putting them in an elevator, closing the doors, and then, you know, trying to yell at them or verbally reprimand them for being nervous and being upset. It's an emotional response that, you know, training alone really cannot have an impact on.
So training is a good thing. Exercise
Absolutely.
Is a good thing. But now, what I've said before, you know, if a dog has true separation anxiety, not mistaken for another problem, but really diagnosed separation anxiety, all you have is a distressed, anxious, worn-out dog.
Right. Right. And a dog who may listen to commands wonderfully. And a lot of my patients, you know, it's one of the first things that the owners say to me is, but he is so smart. And I said, no doubt, but this is not a situation where obedience and following through on commands is going to change the underlying problem, which is anxiety.
Well, I'm a bit anxious right now because my producer has reminded me, I forgot to say, the newscast you previously heard was sponsored by MedVet Chicago. I now feel better about that. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. Elaine, good morning and welcome to WGN.
Hello.
Hello. What's up?
I have a Sheltie. In fact, I have two of them. But the one of them, if she doesn't get her way, likes to bite and lash out.
Well, explain what you mean by that. It sounds kind of like me. So you have to explain a bit more.
Well, for example, now the last time when we were having them going back in the house, she suddenly decided she didn't want to go back in and decide to suddenly lash out. Or if she grabs something, wanted to grab something out of the garbage and you want to take it away from her, she'll lash out. I mean, she's a very much a guard dog kind of tendency to her, but she very much wants her way.
All right. Well, Dr. Sarabasi, I'll let you try to jump in.
Okay. All right. So just the thing to keep in mind, number one, is that especially when we're dealing with aggression problems, no comment that anyone can make over the phone or by email is going to be appropriate directly for your dog. So I can give you some general thoughts, but if this is, especially if somebody's getting injured, you need to really seek some help. And that first help is checking with your veterinarian, make sure there's no medical issues going on. And then if that's the case.
I checked with a vet. In fact, he suggested it might be fear, but I tried the fear one. I think the only fear one is like when she wanted to get her nails trimmed.
Yeah. So I mean, if this is a situation where somebody, especially if someone's getting injured and checks out medically, then, you know, you really want to discuss a referral to someone who's comfortable dealing with aggression problems. But I would not discount fear, because what can happen, you know, there's a couple of things that can occur that is responsible for what you're seeing. Number one, dogs who are somewhat fearful and anxious, the issue becomes over resources. So something in that garbage can is really valuable to your dog. And so the instinct of guarding it and maintaining control and possession of it kicks in. But for the dogs who are really nervous, that also creates confrontation, and confrontation is very threatening to a dog who's really anxious, and that can escalate the problem. It can also just be a conditioned behavior where your dog has learned that using aggression can be really an effective way to managing access to those resources. So, you know, hey, what works is going to be repeated. So, again, it's going to be difficult in this context to really give you specifics, but I would really heartily suggest that you get a hold of some help and help you with that, because you know, potential of somebody getting hurt is high, and then the longer this goes on, the more difficult it's going to be to manage.
So, Elaine, if the dog gets aggressive when this happens, what Dr. Sarabasi, I think, is saying, don't, to the best of your ability, allow this to happen. So the dog doesn't get aggressive, because the more the dog does it, the more the dog practices that behavior. In the meantime, get professional hands-on help from someone that you can spend more time with than we can possibly do on the radio. It is 6:45 on the radio, on WGN Radio Chicago. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Dr. John Sarabasi, veterinary behaviorist and contributing editor to Decoding Your Dog, is with us. Dr. Sarabasi, we have, I think, six more, something like that, phone calls here and several texts. We will get to those in just a moment. Oh, no, you caught me. I was texting folks back here. Lots and lots of text messages. So thank you very much for those. 312-981-7200. Dr. John Sarabasi, veterinary behaviors contributing author to Decoding Your Dog, is on the phone. So those two Shelties, Dr. Sarabasi, that the listener Elaine called about, she texted me pictures of the dogs. It really doesn't help probably me describe or help her as far as the problem goes, but I will say they are very cute dogs. The newsroom fish, according to one texter, ought to be called Jimmy Olsen. Lots of text here. One says, Steve, for the New Year's, my pet gave me a gift. My dog now has separation anxiety. What do I do? So if we could offer some bullet points, and I think we start here, and you tell me if you agree, how do we know if it's really separation anxiety? It's kind of a buzzword, but is it really that?
How do we know?
Well, right. I mean, she's saying it is. I'm saying I don't know if I believe you until it's diagnosed.
Right, right. So, I mean, I don't know how we practice behavior without video, but we did somehow, but now we have video, and it used to be I had a hard time getting it, but now it's like, okay, I got enough already. But the best way to know what your dog is doing when it's alone is you gotta, you know, we all have iPads, we have phones that can do video. Just set them up, and usually within an hour or two of video time, you can see the symptoms of separation anxiety pretty readily. Other than that, you're looking for circumstantial evidence. In dogs with separation anxiety, some of these behaviors are usually present consistently, such as destruction of materials around the house or trying to get out of a crate and injuring itself, eliminating at home consistently when it's alone, salivating excessively. People come home and find drool all over the floor, and you know, I've had clients who thought a pipe broke. They have so much saliva. And vocalizing so neighbors was complaining, hey, you know, every time you're gone, your dog doesn't shut up. So, you know, that should be a red flag that's something up. And then the other thing is a young puppy who can't crate train. So you'll have people say, oh, you know, they're just not used to the crate. Just get them used to the crate. And then when you have, you know, my clients who come in and say, yeah, we tried bungee cords and chains and, you know, armed guards to keep the dog in the crate, you know, that should be a pretty clear indicator that there's something up more than just this puppy not getting used to the crate.
And in 30 seconds of radio time, what do you do about the problem once you do determine it is separation anxiety?
Well, I just kind of real quickly, you know, it's all about approach, leaving the house and coming home. So the big thing is, you know, not interacting with your dog much at all for a good half hour before you leave so they get used to the fact they're going to be left alone. And then when you get home, rather than interacting when the dog is all excited, just kind of stay relaxed until your dog becomes relaxed and ignore them. And then at that point, just calm, relaxed interactions. Not giving in to attention-demanding behavior, because a lot of dogs, when they're nervous and the owners are home, they bug them for attention because it's sort of a kind of a soothing way of minimizing the anxiety. But the problem is when the owners are not there, there's nobody there for the dog to go to become soothed. So ignoring any demands that the dog makes for attention. And then lastly, you know, meds are important. You know, we talked about this being an abnormal behavior related to brain chemistry. And in a lot of these cases, until we address that abnormality through the appropriate use of anti-anxiety medication, can be really difficult to manage the behavior.
All right. Excellent. We'll be talking more about this on February 7th, Dr. Sarah Bossi and myself at Narnia Pet Behavior and Training. More information at asoundbeginningprogram.com, asoundbeginningprogram.com. I love this phone call, Ricky, because you are calling about the C word, cat.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah, I have two cats, a mother and a son. I've had them for 10 years. The mother, fine, totally socialized. The son, 3 months old when I got him. Seemed okay then. I didn't have hardly anybody in the house for the first few years, and I've had a lot of workers and stuff. Now, he will not come out for anybody but me. Is there anything I can do about this?
Yeah, so fearful cats, you know, the way that can present itself is either the way you're seeing, you know, a kitten or a cat who hides quite a bit, or we can see the other direction where they start to use aggressive behavior in order to deal with those threats. You know, they're basically saying to these people, you know, get out of my house because I feel better when you're not here. And, you know, I've done that to some of my guests. I've not exactly bitten them yet, but so, you know, the two things behaviorally is to make those times when people are in the house more comfortable. So getting used to tossing some treats out or putting some really palatable food out for the cat, particularly when you're home alone, and then when there are people over that the cat really does get along with, and then gradually start doing the same thing when people come over that maybe the cat's less comfortable with. And then, again, this is a sign of fear, and again, fear is an abnormal emotional response, and again, the appropriate, and I hate to get on the medication bandwagon, but when we're talking about animals who are showing anxiety-related or fear-related disorders, medication can be helpful, and there's some really good products that can be used to try and help that type of a situation.
Well, great. I'll check with my vet on that because I'm willing to try some medication. Yeah.
Yep, that'd be a good thing.
All right. Thank you very much, Ricky.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Do I get to name the fish?
Sure. What do you think?
Well, so you know how many people have black dogs and they name it Red or something like that? So
yeah.
What if you name the beta Alpha?
We'll ask our newsman has left the building after he heard that. I think that's a possibility. I like it. Dr. Sarah Bossi, you and I both co-edited with Dr. Debbie Horowitz a book called Decoding Your Dog. Tell us about that.
So the College of Behaviorists, so this is the specialty college of veterinarians who are went the kind of the extra mile and took became more learned in dealing with animal behavior issues. We all felt that there was a lack of publications out there for the general public on accurate and science-based information on animal behavior, recognizing behavior problems and how to appropriately treat them in order to kind of counter some of the other material that's out there. So upon the prodding of you,
yes.
The college got moving and we put this together. And so it's, you know, I think what is really unique about this book is that, yeah, there's a lot of good science-based information in it, but with the help of your editing, we made this book much more readable than, you know, your average veterinary textbook, which is what we're afraid we're going to get. And so the response we've had is that people are really enjoying the way it is readable, and the information in there is accurate. And we've been very, very pleased with the results.
All right. Well, always good to talk to you. I'll see you on February 7th. Thank you, Dr. Sarabasi.
Have a great day.
There goes John Sarabasi, veterinary behaviorist. Great guy, also. Again, Dr. Sarabasi and myself will be talking about fear in dogs. I specifically will be talking about some misconceptions, some mistakes that people make or think about that are in the popular press. Dr. Sarabasi will be, as you heard, specifically talking about separation anxiety. February 7th, more information at asoundbeginningprogram.com. That's at Narnia Pet Behavior and Training in Plainfield.